This is the Pick of the Bunch by Basic Bananas, where we share the pick of the bunch when it comes to marketing, business, and people.
Hi, and welcome back to Pick of the Bunch. My name is Francisca Isili, and I'm your host for this episode. I'm also joined by my dear friend Steve Weiss, who is an expert in customer acquisition. And Steve shares a little bit about why Facebook advertising specifically is such a great tool for small business owners. Also, he shares the exact steps that you can use to create effective Facebook campaigns. And lastly, he talks about what sort of images work really well when it comes to using Facebook advertising to grow your business. Happy listening. Hey, Steve, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So Steve and I met a few months ago at a conference, and over dinner we had a few discussions around customer acquisition strategies, some other fun talks and discussions that were very insightful and awesome. And so I thought I'll bring Steve onto the show today to share a little bit about customer acquisition and also one of my favorite strategies, which is Facebook advertising, because Steve is a little bit of a ninja when it comes to customer acquisition. So thanks for being here.
Yeah, glad to share some intel with the world. Facebook has been such a big part of literally everything we do at my company, Mute 6. We also have a podcast on Facebook ads, and it's pretty much consumes my day of becoming, better intelligent, getting better every single day running Facebook ads. And, we live and breathe it every single day.
Yeah, you certainly are. And I'm seeing all the content that you're producing is super effective also. Why is Facebook advertising one of your own personal favorite strategies too for small business owners?
So actually, just to give you guys a little background, I've been running Facebook ads since 2006 when I was in college. The first Facebook ad I ever ran was to bring people to my stand-up comedy shows. I used to be a stand-up comedian when I was younger.
And, no way.
Facebook.
Hey,
Facebook
I got a good. After this show, you got to remind me because last night I had dinner with a friend and I came up with the best stand-up comedy script that I need to share with you.
Okay, well, I'm definitely gonna call you out on that after the show. But it occurred to me that Facebook ads and stand-up comedy are both very similar. If you tell a joke that doesn't resonate or empathize with your audience, no one's gonna laugh. Well, if you create an ad, with a value prop and an image that doesn't resonate with your audience on Facebook, no one's going to engage and no one's going to click and no one's going to buy it. So it provided an easy transition for me from a career perspective to go from stand-up comedian to Facebook marketer. And it's something that I've been really, owning for the last 10 years, I guess. So, start off with Facebook flyers, which wasn't really an ad. It was just a paid flyer on the bottom right of a Facebook page to the evolution now where you can actually run video ads in the newsfeed and really do some really cool branded experiences. So I think Facebook in general, the reason why it's growing as a platform is because you could target such a vast amount of targeted audiences with one specific ad and really create a unique ad experience and with messaging and really sell products at scale, even to users who didn't even show prior purchase intent. It's not like search where you got to search for a product. On Facebook, people are actively looking for interesting things, and that's the reason why Facebook is growing at the rate that it's growing.
Yeah, exactly. I agree. And I can't wait to get a little bit more into messaging because that is such a great story about, how you almost compare stand-up comedy with good stand-up comedy and good campaigns, because it really is what makes or breaks a campaign. And the other point that I want to highlight that you mentioned there is that a lot of the tools that we use nowadays, like Google Ads, we target people that are searching actively for a product or a solution. Whereas on Facebook, you also reach the people that are not actively searching for you. They don't maybe even know that they need you just yet. I told you before, last night, I was wasting a little bit of time on Facebook and I had this ad pop up. And I'm always interested in looking at ads and seeing how really good campaigns can hook you in. And there was one ad which was a picture, or I think it was maybe a video of someone doing handstands, and it was a handstand challenge. So 30-day handstand challenge. It said, hey, if you want to learn how to do a handstand, get this app. And I wasn't even looking for a handstand challenge, but maybe 5 minutes later I spent $20 on this challenge. So so I can do better handstands. And I didn't know that I was looking for that. So obviously you also capture people that are interested maybe in this case in yoga or health. And that's, you know, even without me searching actively for something, I spend money on this product.
Yeah, it's really cool. Maybe in the past you've shown some intent to really engage with a handstand app. Maybe you saw an image of a guy or a girl doing a handstand. You're like, whoa, I like that. You press like, and then Facebook calculated that based on your prior user behavior, that you might be interested in a product that, or a movement around handstands. So it's always interesting how like the behavior you show on Facebook is so it derives the ads that you see. That's why there's never one news feed that looks exactly the similar. So if you have a friend who's very similar to you, has similar interests, well, they're still going to have a much different news feed experience. And that's kind of Facebook's main prerogative, is to really customize your newsfeed experience based on the types of products and interests that you engage with.
Exactly. Now, where should people get started? If someone is sort of new to this, or maybe already has a few campaigns running but not sure if they're doing okay, where can people get started? What are sort of the steps that you would recommend? And then we get into some messaging too.
Yeah, number one, you want to define your conversion objective. So what is your goal as a business? Do you want to drive leads? Do you want to drive sales? Do you want to, you know, what is it? Do you want to drive just engagement with a video? Like, what is your goal? If you're an e-commerce site, you probably want to figure out how you could drive sales from a Facebook ad. So if that's the case, then you want to place two things. You want to do, number one, you want to place your Facebook Universal Audience Pixel on every page of your website. Number two, you want to set up a conversion tracking inside of Facebook. You want to tell Facebook that this right here is a conversion. And, you know, this point in my funnel is a conversion. Then you can even set a dollar sign that, you know, to pass back the conversion value of how much people are buying. Number one, remember, Universal Audience Pixel. Number two, conversion tracking. Number three, you want to upload all your emails into Facebook. You want to say, here's all my emails. You know, Facebook, I want you to create lookalikes or variations of all the people on my email list, all the people that engage with me. And then number four, you want to then start creating audiences of every single point of your funnel. All the people who reach my homepage, all the people who like my fan page. You know, I'm going to create a custom audience, or what we call a lookalike audience, of all these users. Then the fifth thing is, that's when you start working on messaging and targeting these high-intent lookalike audiences. So remember, number one, place Universal Audience Pixel. Number two, set up conversion tracking. Number three, upload your email list. Number four, create your audiences. And then number five, we want to start, you know, this is where the real fun begins. We want to start thinking and iterating our messaging.
Yeah, and for the listeners, if they're a little bit confused now, what's he talking about, Universal Facebook Pixel? If you go into the Ads Manager, it's all explained in there. You can even find some videos on YouTube how to do it. It seems maybe more complicated than it is, but once you have the pixel installed, it's really useful to track all of these audiences. For us at Basic Bananas, for example, our lookalike audiences are probably the most highly converting audiences, although we also have audiences based on interests, and I'd be interested in hearing your thoughts on that. So we would have different audiences. One audience is based on business interests, one audience is based on publications, targeting different publications like Forbes and BRW, and one other one is targeting people that are interested in personalities like Richard Branson. And they actually work quite well too. Do you find interest groups are pretty useful in the businesses that you guys manage?
So interest audiences are kind of the early stage one of Facebook when they launch the platform. You know, you could launch and you could target users who like a specific fan page. Well, you know, when Facebook came out to lookalike audiences, they pretty much pulled already all the people who've already liked something and included them in your lookalike audience. So in most cases for your brand, you're overlapping the people who like specific pages with your lookalike audiences. So I would always say just be careful or be aware that you could be overlapping audiences if you're targeting both people who like Forbes and you also have a lookalike audience of 2 million people. So there's a tool called the Audience Overlap Tool inside of Facebook. It's kind of a strategy once you have some experience in Facebook, because remember, you don't want to overlap your audiences in multiple ad sets. So that's more of a granular discussion, but you know, you always want to be very careful to not overlap. Mm. And That's why, like, when you target lookalikes, you always want to focus on your lookalikes, and then you can make sure that the likes audience aren't already a part of your lookalikes.
Great. So maybe the listeners can just get started with some lookalike audiences and see how they go with that before they start launching some other interest groups.
Yeah. I don't want to say, like, you know, don't do one or the other. I want to say do both, but just always be just aware that you could be targeting the same people in both audiences.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Now, the next thing, and for us, both of them work really well. We convert with both audience types. Now, the next thing, of course, which is probably the hardest part of running a really good campaign, is the creative. So the images that you choose and also the copy. And it's very funny because sometimes we have this awesome idea and I sit down with our marketing manager and we have, oh my God, this is the best ad that we could ever run. We run it and nothing. It totally flops. And then we do something else and we go, oh yeah, this is sort of okay. And it totally takes off. So sometimes you just really have to test and, you know, test different approaches because you don't always know which one is going to work, and sometimes the worst one that you think is the worst one performs better than the best one that you think is the best one.
Yeah, I think that, you know, there's tons of different creative types to really, you know, test out. Some of the most popular creative types, exactly what you just alluded to, imagery. There, you could use a static image with text on top of the image. You could use, you know, what we call a carousel, where there's multiple images running at once, and people are kind of flipping through multiple images of your product or service. And then there's, you know, the one that I always allude to, which is the most popular one, in my opinion, right now, is video. Video is really just blowing up on Facebook. And the way video works is really important to understand is Facebook video is 15 seconds or less. People, that's kind of like the most amount of time people have to watch anything, where their attention gets moved on to something more important than you.
Mm-hmm.
So it's key to always keep your video 15 seconds or less. And also another thing is, remember that most of the video on Facebook, the sound is off. So what that means is that people are not listening to the sound of your video. So you actually can have the ability to put what you call captions on top of the video. So people can, you know, you could put a marketing message inside the video using captions. Captions are like little words that go along with the video. So Facebook allows you to optimize or to test out different captions on top of your video, which work really, really well.
Yeah. What are some of your favorite video ads that have worked really well that you guys have set up in your agency? Or even some that you have seen, maybe?
Yeah, so we're running a video. So we actually got written up on Facebook.com as a case study on our work on a brand called Preheal. They were they have a cream that women put on their on the backs of their feet, so when they wear high heels, there's no friction. It doesn't cause blisters.
Have you tried it?
I use it rather often. I wish I were the product tester.
Yeah, you should have.
Everyone I tell it to, that they always ask me, they're like, Steve, so when are you going to wear high heels? Try it. And if that ever happens,
in your stand-up comedy, maybe you'll do that.
Yeah, maybe I'll go on stage in my high heels.
I love it. I'll be there. I'll cheer you on.
Yeah, so, you know, this is a really cool product. And what we did was, you know, we wanted to really zero in on the experience that women have, because it's a very painful experience. I mean, you know, I don't know the exact experience, but, you know, I could understand that, you know, you're walking for a couple miles. You just, you know, you're at a dinner and you got to walk around. And, you know, it's a price of being pretty. And and, you know, the cream, it stops the friction, and it allows you to not have any pain. So we create a video, just basically 15-second or less video of just how easy it is to apply and show the pain go away. And that video reached about 20 million views on Facebook, and, you know, it was generated a significant amount of ROI.
Was the video going directly to a sales page to purchase the cream?
Yes, exactly. It was a video link.
And the video, was it showcasing sort of just someone with, like, no text, no voiceover, just someone looking sexy in their heels and then putting on the cream and looking happy?
Yeah, there's no sound on the video. So literally the video is just a video of how the cream being applied. It didn't have any people in it. It just showed the friction of the foot, you know, and cream being put on the foot. And it shows the pain point and the problem that it's solving. And I think that's the reason why it worked so good, was because it showed very clearly the problem that a lot of people have, and it showed very clearly a solution to that problem.
Excellent. And this is really low production cost to do something like this for anyone listening. And this is pretty much, you know, you summarize it, find the pain point, the biggest pain point that your customers have, depending on your industry, whether it's for a product or service. And then how does your offering overcome that and test a video ad for that? It doesn't have to cost very much to create something like that. 15 seconds or less. I like that.
Yeah, and, you know, Preheal, they're lucky. They have an amazing product. It gets great reviews. And, you know, we were just very fortunate to be working with them and be able to create such an amazing video and amazing experience that possible customers can immerse themselves with on the news feed. It was one of those videos that's kind of what I call disrupted the finger on the news feed. So, like, when you're scrolling down the news feed, you want to build creative that disrupts the finger. So, like, it just stops you. It stops you cold in your tracks, mm-hmm. You know?
Excellent. What about copy? So the text that goes with either a video or an image, what are your recommendations here?
So copy on Facebook is not the most important thing that drives the ad. What drives a good ad on Facebook is the imagery and what I just alluded to, the disruption of the finger. So remember, you want to get something so engaging that it just disrupts exactly what's going on and get someone to focus on you for at least 5 seconds. So I'd say the image and the video are more important than the text. The text is kind of like the least important element of the ad. I'm not saying it's not any importance, but, you know, I remember we used to split test, you know, variations of text across the same images, and that didn't really result in any hikes in conversion rates. It was kind of a useless waste of time, per se.
Interesting. Because I actually do find for our audiences, we do long copy versus short copy tests. When we go into a new city, the long copy ones where we explain a little bit more what we're doing, so the workshops that we're running, they always convert way better until the city has got used to us and they know what we're all about, then short copy works really well.
Yeah, and you guys are selling a kind of a different product. So for what you guys are selling, I feel like there needs to be kind of a long description to really understand the value that might not be able to be communicated in a video or an image. But for, you know, we work on mostly e-commerce sites. So yeah, a lot of e-commerce sites, people want to sell the product via an image or a video. And that's a lot easier to communicate than having long text. Because remember, people are on the move. A lot of these users who purchase products, they're buying because of the imagery and they're buying because of the value prop. So they don't have time to read long sales letters. Whereas I feel like your audience, you know, you've been able to create such a high impact, you know, formula that you're able to share with the world. And I feel like your audience is really engaged and really interested. That's why you're able to create a long form ad unit that actually converts. And a lot of brands struggle with creating long form ad units that work. I mean, it just shows you guys are doing awesome marketing there.
Yeah, no, they definitely work. And a lot of educational ones too, where we sort of bust the myth and we talk about something that everyone thinks, but that is maybe not the case. People love it. It's sort of an educational ad and it's quite long. And then at the end, if they want to learn more, they can come to one of our workshops and they convert really, really well. What do you think when it comes to, I know a lot of our audiences are wondering, well, what sort of images should I use? Do I need to, you know, go to a stock image page and get one of those ugly images?
No, don't do that. Don't
do that.
Specific product shots or if you're a restaurant, specific images of the product. Remember, you want to sell the experience. You want to sell the product. And so product shots do really, really well. In some instances, lifestyle images work well, but you know, for the most part, product shots have always converted a little bit better than lifestyle. Mm-hmm.
What about if somebody has a service? So I totally agree. You know, if you sell a product, get a photographer and get really beautiful images. What about if somebody, say, is an accountant or lawyer or dentist or doctor or consultant? What do you think would be a good approach for them?
So I would change up the conversion objective from a doctor or a lawyer or any service-based thing. Remember, my sales process is based upon being able to get a user on the phone or in person to sell my product. So in that case, you know, I would switch the conversion objective to run lead ads or tell Facebook that I want to run an ad unit to generate leads or people interested in my service. And for a doctor, you know, I really want to that might be a, or for a lawyer, that might be an example of when to run a long form lead, a long form ad unit, where you could really explain the value props. You could also use check marks. You could also use, you know, capital letters. You could, you know, there's a lot of ways to get a person's attention on the newsfeed. But for the type of ad to run, I would say try testing out a lead ad. Because remember, you just want to try and get as many people on the phone as possible.
Yeah, exactly. And again, I love those little tips that you share, that you throw in. So, you know, capital letters, or sometimes we use the little arrows to get someone's attention, and they definitely work. And now, you know, for anyone listening, just split test, because it's really hard to predict what's going to work for your audience or your business. Just launch a few different campaigns. And that leads me into the next question, Steve, which is analytics. What, there are so many, Facebook is so good at analytics, and there are so many numbers in there. What are sort of the most important ones that you reckon the listeners should just pay attention to, those top, say 3-4 numbers?
So number one, your CPA, your cost per action, or whatever you're backing into. And then another thing to really look at this is your one day view and one day click conversion. This means that the people who've actually seen your ad on one day and bought, and your or viewed an ad on one day and bought. Remember, on Facebook, there's this thing called attribution, which kind of is like this big word for saying that like Facebook tries to attribute all the conversions that it sees from its conversion pixel back to its campaign. So what you really want to do is you really want to understand, you know, your attribution. What are you giving Facebook credit for, you know, in your conversion funnel? So I like to look at, number one, my CPA. Number two, you know, my one-day click, one-day view conversions. Number three, I want to look at my return on ad spend. So I want to know, like, if I spend $1, how much am I making off that? I'm making $4. $3, etc. And then number four, what is my CPL, cost per lead? I'm running lead ads on Facebook. And then I'm also looking at, you know, if I'm running, you know, view campaigns. Let's say I'm running video view campaigns. You know, I'm optimizing toward views. I want to really understand which audience is generating the cheapest views.
Yeah, exactly. And when you know these numbers, really, you know, a question that you probably always get asked too is, how much should I spend on Facebook? Well, if you know these numbers, you can spend as much as you like, as long as you know that you're making a return. So if I'm selling, for example, surf suits at one of our companies, it's called Ocean Lovers. If I'm selling surf suits and it's costing me, I don't know, $30 for a conversion of a suit that is maybe $150, I know my numbers. I know that I can spend a lot of money to get that conversion.
Yeah, if you have an idea of not only the CPA, but if you know your return on ad spend, and you know, you see that there's still scale in the audience that you're targeting, i.e., you know, you're only reaching a small segment of your best audiences. You always want to see your reach, you know, and then you want to see how big that audience is. So if you see that your reach is really low, and but you're still getting conversions, there's still a lot of audience left over to reach, that means that, you know, you can spend more money and keep the CPA at a very constant rate.
Mm.
Whereas sometimes, you know, you're seeing that your frequency or the number of times a person sees your ad is really high. And, you know, maybe you might be burning out that one audience with your ad. So maybe you might want to scale down your advertising.
Yeah, that's a good point. What do you say is a high frequency?
Anything over 4.
Yeah.
So awesome. Very high frequency.
And for someone starting out, what sort of audience sizes would you recommend per ad campaign?
Maybe like 1 million. Anything over 1 million is fine for lookalikes. If you have... Obviously, if you have website custom audiences or emails, you know, you're going to have a lot lower audience. But for lookalikes, I would say, you know, lookalikes 3%, lookalikes 2%, you know, that's probably going to get you over 1 million.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, for some people in Australia or New Zealand or targeting more local markets, it might be a little smaller. I know in the US, 1 million is very small. in New Zealand, that's almost half of the population.
Yeah.
The other half are sheep.
Yeah, here in America.
Exactly. Now, do you have any more? I have two more questions and then one surprise question. Do you have more campaigns that you would like to share as an example? And what's a funny campaign that you guys did or that you have seen that just made you laugh?
The funny campaign that I've seen before. Goes back to, you know, Long time ago, I was running an ad for a company that sold like rings inside of candles. So you'd burn the candle up, and then you'd get a ring
Oh, wow.
That's valued It could be a Cracker Jack box ring, or it could be a ring that's like valued at $8,000.
That's so cool. You don't know which one you get when you buy the candle?
No, you don't. It's like a Cracker Jack. Yeah. You get the most expensive ring, you burn it down, and you know, whoa, it's a ring that's worth $7,000. I only paid $15 for this. Or you could get, you know, a dud, like a ring that's just a piece of plastic. So I was running ads for them for a while, and I was running an ad that just said, new rings just added. You know, the psychology of being in the current is so important on Facebook. And that one ad where I just said, new rings just added, was like, oh my God, like, I have to get this $7,000 ring as fast as possible. Facebook is all about psychology. It's understanding what's going to get people to act. And I think once you really understand what's going to get your audience to make an action, you know, you could really run the gamut of like different things to test. And I think that's kind of what we're really good at. We're really good about the psychology side of running ads, of really figuring out what's going to get a person to act. And in that case, you know, what's going to get someone to act is just this opportunity that we're creating for someone to really, you know, get an amazing ring just from buying a cheap candle. And I think that's what really did amazingly well.
That's interesting. Is that business still around? I've never seen a business like that. It's hilarious.
Yeah. It's a big business, actually. They're doing really well.
That's amazing. Whoever invented that, that's pretty interesting. And last question, unless there's something, is there another something else that you wanted to share before I ask you one more question?
No, go for it.
Because this one is not Facebook related.
No, shoot. I mean, I'm here for all your questions.
Okay, my last question is, can you share one of your stand-up comedy jokes?
Now you're like just putting me on the spot.
Totally putting you on the spot.
A lot of my humor is like rated kind of like a little bit R-related, so I don't want to like say anything that could disrupt the flow of the audience, you know? I don't want to... People cover up their ears and just be like, he's good at...
You've just worked up your image and everyone thinks, oh my God, this guy's amazing. And then you just rip it all down. So yeah, if all your jokes are a little bit below the belt, maybe we don't share.
Yeah, I might have to share with you when we're offline.
Okay.
I got a routine that I'm going to share with you. And maybe if you approve that routine, then I could maybe share it with the masses on our next podcast.
Okay, I like that. Hey, and if people want to see you or say hi or visit your website, where can they go?
So our website is mutesix.com, mutesix.com. We have a podcast up there. So if you really like hearing my beautifully laid out voice, I also have my own podcast up there. It's called Spend 10K a Day. That's just the name of the podcast. It's pretty much based around helping businesses who want to scale and how do you spend $10,000 a day profitably. So you could hear us just jam out on the Spend 10K a Day podcast, or you could come to our website and just say hello. My email is Steve. That's Steve with an S. I know some people think Steve is with a different letter, but Steve with an S.
What other letter can it be?
I always just say that.
Oh my God. Like, that was your joke. That was a good one. Steve with an S at mutesix.com. Thanks again, Steve. Thank you so much for taking the time. I know you're a busy man, and I really appreciate you sharing your knowledge here.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you so much for having me. You have do an amazing job. I mean, Francie's one of the best content marketers I've ever met. She's just an awesome person. You know, she's provided a lot of motivation, you know, for me to keep growing my business, and I'm glad to be able to bring value, you know, in some way, shape, or form.
Oh, that is so sweet. Thanks so much.
To get more from Basic Bananas and to learn new ways to grow your business with clever marketing, visit basicbananas.com.